This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is, and welcome to it. Monday's mean Money in Motion. Klaus Financial answers to all your retirement questions in one place. These segments are sponsored by Klaus Financial. Joining us here in studio, Malia and Steve. Steve and Malia, welcome back.
Thanks. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing today?
Great, great. You guys have Olympic fever?
Yes, it's been awesome. Unbelievable for the U.S. team in most every aspect of the Olympics to date.
It's
phenomenal.
It's just USA has been absolutely dominating. Malia, you as well?
Yes, I just think it's kind of a letdown when they're all over because then you're like,
I know, can't we just all get along
we do at the Olympics?
Yeah. Might be the last time we chat about them. I think the closing ceremonies will be between now and our next segment. If our listeners have not heard Money in Motion before, you listening to this right now will get answers to all your retirement questions and your financial planning questions during this next 25 minutes or so. And if you have any questions about anything, you can call us live. The last couple of shows, we've had some live calls at 815-398-9765. That's 815-398-WROK. Later in the show, we'll ask the Klaus Quiz question of the week. The first listener to call in with the correct answer to the question this week wins a $25 gift card to Red Lobster. Love Red Lobster. Mm-hmm. So we'll give you the number to call for that later. But if you want to call in right now and answer questions, or ask questions, I should say, to Steve and Malia from Klaus Financial, 815-398-9765. So, why don't we go ahead and do that, taking a bird's eye view of this, Malia and Steve. Remind our listeners who Klaus Financial is and what you do to help people and what makes Klaus Financial different.
That's a great question, Mike. And first of all, we are an independent firm, which means that we do not have somebody looking over our shoulders dictating how we run our business for our clients. We are a fee-based and fee-for-service organization as well. Again, from a fee-based investing standpoint, we help clients invest their dollars for accumulating and distributing during retirement. And we charge an asset management fee for the management of their investments. On fee-for-service basis is when somebody is still accumulating the majority of their dollars are in their 401k plan, for example, but they still want that coaching retirement planning process. That's where we just charge them a retainer fee or an hourly billing fee to help them along. With that being the case, that's obviously not a one-person operation. We have actually two locations, one in Rockford, and also in Madison, Wisconsin, serving clients throughout the country. Our primary focus, as you pointed out, is for retirement planning. What we mean by that is it can be for the accumulation and or actual distribution during retirement. So it's not necessarily age-based, it's more focus-based on retirement planning. And our capacity is independent, fee-based investors, planners for individuals. We also act as fiduciaries. You've heard us talk somewhat about the Department of Labor's new regulation with regard to that fiduciary standard, and it's just pointing out where you are geared and focused on what's best for the client as the primary objective, and also vetting out various aspects of that planning and investing process to be beneficial for the client first and always. In our capacity, you hear us talk about many times about being a coach and or quarterback. Again, our definition of the difference is with the coach, we're helping you create the plan. As the quarterback, we're helping you implement the plan. And that's the two-step process where we help many, many of our clients with.
And fiduciary, I know, has been joked about. John Oliver and HBO did a whole thing about how not all financial advisors can call themselves fiduciaries, but Klaus Financial and the advisors there are fiduciaries, right?
Correct. Yes. And there is a difference. And, you know, from our opinion, I think that that's good for the industry. It's good for clients because it's all up front and there are no hidden agendas, so to speak. And that's the big difference.
I guess the hardest thing about starting a plan for retirement for a lot of listeners, and my wife and I included, is knowing where to start. How would you guys help us with that?
Yeah, that's a really good lead into what we're going to be discussing today. Our discussion is going to revolve around real life situations and what you should do to handle them. So kind of like what do you do next scenarios. So our first situation, of course, is you're thinking about retiring. What do you do next? Well, I'm a list maker, so that's kind of how I think through my life on a daily basis. And so today, that's kind of the format is it's a list. So the first thing you need to do, quite honestly, is if you're thinking about retiring, give it 10 years, 5 years from now, sit down with someone. Sit down, kind of tell them where you're at with your savings, your retirement plans, where you're at with Social Security. Are you going to get a pension? Really taking a look at what you have in place. That person should be able to help you review your debt. Most people still have at least a mortgage, maybe a home equity line of credit. Maybe they own other properties. Just get a hold of what you have, where you're at, and where you want to end up. Maybe your savings isn't quite what you need to have in place, maybe for emergency savings or retirement savings. Maybe your current budget needs to be reworked. You know, if you looked at my budget, you could definitely see areas that you'd say, Malia, you're just spending too much money going out to Beefaroo every week or something like that. Maybe we're spending too much money on insurance unnecessarily. You really need to look at all those areas. So that's what having that, as Steve was saying, as a separate set of eyes looking at what you have in place that can help you with your future. Looking at potential other income sources for retirement, the Social Security. We're going to ask you to pull that in and take a look at where you're at for that future benefit. And finally, health insurance needs. Are you pre-65? Are you planning on retiring at 63? How are we going to cover that for health insurance? Obviously, health insurance is a really important item to consider.
Sure.
And obviously, Steve, I think you can address life insurance. What do they need to be doing if they're thinking about retirement?
Yes, many times, again, it's just reviewing the life insurance you have. Do you need more? Do you need less? Do you not need any? It's a matter of just blowing that dust off and seeing what you've got and see what applies and what doesn't. You know, transportation is another big one. Many times you'll end up in today's environment where you'll have two retirees, and they may be still very, very active, and they're thinking they can drop down to one car, and all of a sudden they find out that that really doesn't work, and they still need to maintain two cars because they go different directions with different goals and objectives. Worst thing you can do many times is to go to one car and then find out you really needed two just to keep sanity. Because as I point out, people are married for many, many years many times because you're not around each other 24/7. And
right.
When you're looking at goals in retirement, as Malia pointed out, what are your income goals? What activities do you want to consider doing? Do you like to travel? Do you not? Charitable functions, grandchildren. You know, where are they located? There's a lot of different things involved in your goals, and they are evolving. It's not a situation where you just create that plan and that's a one-shot deal and you're done. I mean, that's something you always want to review, as you hear us say more times than not, on at least an annual basis. And when you're creating those plans, make sure you include your spouse. Worst thing you could have happen is you as a retiree decide you want to live in Florida and your spouse says, I want to live in Arizona. That doesn't quite work.
Those are very different states.
Slightly.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how many times spouses do not communicate about these future plans.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a really important point he makes.
Absolutely. Or one really wants to travel and the other one really hates to travel. And when you're looking at your estate plans, as we pointed out before, what type of legal documents do you have? Which ones do you still need to get? Because it's just part of the overall retirement planning process, and many of those legal documents are not necessarily all that complicated, but they sure can make your life a lot simpler if things happen, which none of us know when that can occur. It does definitely happen at times. With all of that being said, and you're looking at your retirement plan in general, especially when you're looking at your dollars, the way they're invested, you hear us repeatedly say the importance of sticking with your plan. It's not saying you can't adjust it because you should, but you shouldn't adjust it just because the market's hiccuping from one day to the next. If you've got a strategy that makes sense for your income and for your retirement, more times than not, it's minor adjustments.
I know this never happens with listeners. It certainly doesn't happen in my life. But let's just say, hypothetically, that your life changes somehow. What do you do with the plan then? We're going to answer that question on the other side of this break. This is Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. We'll be right back.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is. And we are back with Malia and Steve from Klaus Financial. And before the break, we were talking about the different steps and list of things you should think about as you plan for retirement, what your goals are, where you want to live if you want to retire, you know, if you want to live somewhere else than where you live right now. Are you communicating with your spouse? And one key thing I know you guys are very adamant about is having a plan and sticking to it. However, what if something changes in your life, which is likely to happen? I joked before the break that it is not, but of course everyone's life changes. Big changes happen. What happens then to the plan?
Well, and you know, when we say change, I think immediately we all think that's a negative. Maybe there's some positive changes that happen too. Maybe you're getting married for the first time at the age of 55. We've seen that happen. Maybe a new grandchild's being born. I mean, there's tons of good life changes, but I think when immediately we're thinking about our plan and what we see every day is you're a year out from retirement and your spouse comes to you and says, I want a divorce. And then you've been married for 40 years. Honestly, we hear this quite a bit. That is a bump that we weren't expecting. We were originally planning for this dual retirement income. Suddenly we're going to be looking at how is that going to break out. A divorce, a death, your health changes, your spouse's health changes, or you lose your job. And this is prior to retirement. So the first thing you need to do, sit down with someone to review your current needs. Now, I'm going to say the first thing you want to do is probably review your emotional needs. You might need some counseling to go through some of these things. If you've gone through a death, perhaps, or even a divorce, you might need to sit down with someone to work through some of this. If your spouse needs assistance, maybe you're going to have to seek out a caregiver. You can't do everything yourself. So I'd like you to just sit down with someone professionally trained that can help you through some of these emotional needs, perhaps. Next thing you need to do is evaluate your health insurance coverages. How is that going to change if suddenly someone's lost their job, someone's passed away? That affects your health insurance. So we always want to make sure people are whole, you know, mentally, physically, and obviously financially. So we got to cover all these areas. Next, we want you to review your current housing. Someone died. Maybe it was your second husband. And maybe you're only allowed to live in the house while he was living. Now he's passed away. I had this just a few months ago. Now that person needs to find a new home. So these are serious things that need to be addressed. And then finally, income flow and your debt. You know, if you're married and you're both collecting Social Security, your spouse passes away, now you get to have only one Social Security come into that household. That would be the larger of the two. So obviously income flow can change quite a bit. Steve, budget ideas?
Yeah, in fact, you know, with regard to the income during retirement, that it can even happen prior to retirement, where if your spending lifestyle is based on two spouses' incomes and one of the spouses loses that income, then it gets back down to, you know, reviewing your budget. You have less money coming in the door. You need to take a look at your expenses. I mean, we categorize them typically in two areas. One, what we call fixed expenses, which would be food, clothing, utilities, some of the basic necessities that are there every month and are pretty consistent in cost. And then many times, as Malia alluded to earlier, that miscellaneous category can be immense. And that may be where you need to really make those adjustments. Again, it's reviewing your life insurance needs, whether you need it, you have it too much, not enough. More importantly, you heard me mention a minute ago with regard to your estate plan for legal documents. I mean, we're not attorneys. We do not write the documents, but we definitely recognize the importance of them. And in a situation where if there is a divorce, that is something where you really do need to take a look at that, because more times than not, you'll have your spouse on as your power of attorney for property, health care, designated for beneficiaries, could be in your actual trust documents or your wills. So you really need to take a look at everything, because we have seen that before where there's been a divorce And some of those things were missed, especially in the beneficiary category with regard to, for example, your 401k plan. And then that other spouse passes away and it goes somewhere where it wasn't supposed to. So it's, again, reviewing your goals, reviewing where you're at, taking that step back. Don't jump on it all immediately, but take a systematic approach with your professional to help guide you through that process.
Probably a good little tip, too. I know for a lot of husbands and wives, one of the spouses handles all the financial stuff and pays all the bills and does all of this stuff, and the other one doesn't pay attention to it at all. You should probably know where things are, at least, you know, in the paperwork and stuff.
Without a doubt.
If something were to happen, you know, you want to know where to get the stuff if you're mm-hmm. completely out of the loop on a lot of that. And I know that sometimes people have adult children that need support. That's, you know, we always think of our parents that we have to take care of, but sometimes adult children may need help. How does that fit into a plan?
You know, that is definitely more prevalent today, Mike. I mean, it's what we call the sandwich generation, where you could still be taking care of your own children along with your parents, which we'll mention in a minute. But if you have, you know, an adult child, for example, you're 67 years of age and your adult child's 45, they just went through a divorce or they lost their job and now they are coming back home to stay there, you know, and you're close to or in early retirement, you really have to take a look at that, because obviously as a parent, everybody's going to want to help out their children. But at the same time, what impact can that have on your own retirement future? And how much can you realistically afford to do if you are helping out your kids? Sometimes it's a situation where it's tough love and there's only so much you can do without jeopardizing your own future. I doubt your child, more times than not, would want it to be a situation where you've helped them out so much that your future for retirement ends up being you living with them. And so those are definitely real life scenarios in today's environment.
I think what's important too to remember, you know, we're all about parents and children. We both have them. But what we need to remember is that you're the one probably in retirement. Your kids still probably have another 20 years to work. So again, the tough love, I mean, we need to help our families, but we also need to make sure that we're providing for ourselves. We don't want to end up living, like you said, like Steve said, with our children probably.
This would be a good time to ask the cost quiz question of the week, which again, the number to call, well, we didn't give the number yet.
No.
Have the answer to this. It's a $25 gift card to Red Lobster.
Mike, can I interrupt 1 minute?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Please.
I just wanted to do one more scenario for you.
Oh, yes. Okay. I was going to come back to that. I just didn't want to run out of time.
Yeah. Sorry. So the theme is your child's moved back home. What do? We hear this all the time. There's actually a broad demographic shift in marital status these days, educational attainment and employment. And so many young adults are moving back home. And I'm seeing a lot of 27 to 30 year olds, but actually according to the Pew Research Center, they're located in DC, in 2014, for the first time in more than 130 years, adults ages 18 to 34 were more likely to be living in their parents' home than they were to be living with their spouse. So what that equates to is 32.1% of adults between those ages, 18 and 34, were living with their parents in 2014. So this is real. These kids are home and they are probably using some of your monetary funds to pay for their food.
Wow, that's a much higher percentage than I would have thought. 32.1% of people 18 to 34. And it is an unfortunate trend. I don't know if that was the case 20 years ago or 30 years ago, but it's the way things seem to be these days. The class quiz question of the week, I will open up right now to the following phone number, 815-877-8440, 815-877-8440. You can win a $25 gift card to Red Lobster if you answer the following question correctly. According to a census study, in 2014, what percentage of 18 to 34-year-olds were living with their parents? Again, in 2014, what percentage of 18 to 34-year-olds were living with their parents, according to a census study? We gave that answer quite a while ago, but hopefully you were listening.
All right, Steve and Malia, is there anything else you would like to add about these sort of scenarios and plans and lists about planning for your retirement future before we say goodbye this week?
Well, if your kids do move home, you know, perhaps you should suggest collecting rent from them. It sounds harsh, but you're paying the bills. So keep that in mind. I have situations where they say, well, you can stay for a while, and that 1 year turns into 5 years, and now a boyfriend's moved in, and now the daughter's pregnant. And so it goes on and on, and you're supporting now a family. Keep that in mind before you just open the doors.
Yeah, I don't have that situation in my house necessarily, because I don't have adult children, but I do have adult siblings, and one of them lives at home. And I know, I mean, it was pretty early on. Like, I think when he was maybe 19 or 20, my parents said, look, you're living here. You're an adult now. You need to throw us some dough every month. Yeah. And he has been paying rent, you know, for as long as he's lived with my parents. And it's fine. It's affordable to him. But I know it helps my parents out. I mean, it's a, you know, he uses the laundry facilities and uses everything else that everyone uses at home.
Part of being an adult, I think.
True.
Exactly. Steve and Malia from Foss Financial, thanks so much for coming back onto the show. And until next time, we will see you.
Have a great week.
Foss Financial. Be right back.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.